Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody. Happy Good Friday to you. Hope the upcoming Easter weekend is going to be wonderful for you. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Dima Mixon. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio. The Southern Bancorp studio celebrating our 10th anniversary of the Eagle Hour. And with that fluid introduction, you can see why I've been hosting it for 10 years, Kelly.
That's what we used to call, I won't tell you what we used to call something a studio hope, but
Start out on the right foot now. It's our 10th anniversary.
And it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Because I remember when you and I were talking, I'm going, do you really think there would be enough interest in a show like that? Well,
yeah,
I guess.
What are the odds you could be on this show for 10 years and not get fired?
Or be sued, you know, which they kind of go hand in hand, don't they, generally?
The good news is we've had our 10 listeners all the way through, all
That's
10
right.
years.
By God, they're still with us, those same 10 little ladies, and we really appreciate the clamor.
Some of them are on oxygen, yeah, but
yeah, but okay. I put the earplug in her ear before I left so that the sound of the air wouldn't drown us.
Well, it breaks up their day of just listening to Fox News the rest of the day.
Correct. And they all look forward to having dinner with Kelly. Kelly's big at the Claiborne, in case you don't know. He's like a celebrity out there.
Hey, as long as dinner's done by 5:30.
It is.
Yes.
All right, we got a full show today. This is Old Home Week. We're bringing back all of our friends and people that have been with us over the past 10 years. Patrick McGee, Dr. Luke Johnson, Andrew Abity, Hill Denson, Jim Taylor, Scott Kirk, Chuck Abity. I guess we need to get going, huh?
Man, this is the who's who,
and
right?
And by the way, there was a question posed to me yesterday on another show I was on, and they asked me about Luke, and they wanted to know, do we now refer to him as Dr. Johnson or Father Luke?
Oh, I don't think you should call Luke Father. He's not ordained a priest.
I'm just asking the question, Kelly. I'm not assigning any names to him.
I just think Dr. Luke Johnson.
Dr. Luke Johnson. Yeah. All right, well, before we get to all our friends, and we're really looking forward to talking to all of them, a little baseball and football to talk about. Let's start with baseball, guys. Last night, Golden Eagles put together 15 hits. Good starting pitching, good relief pitching, a total domination of Old Dominion. And that's the way they got to play all the time, Demo.
Yeah, it was good to see them just kind of starting to see some singles and stuff. I knew Gillespie had those two homers, but and Russo, a homer last night, first since I think the Nichols game after Mississippi State. But it was just good to see some singles and doubles and just seeing the ball fall a little bit, because that to me is what kind of gets you going. It's just seeing the ball fall a little bit. I thought it was most encouraged by the bottom of the lineup. I think everybody had a hit. Everybody, you know, in that lineup contributed. But I want to see it again. You know, there's a lot of times where they'll do a game like that, then the next game, you know, 4-1 or whatever it is.
You're right.
And you know, over the last 10 games, they're 6-4, so playing basically 500 ball. So you want to see that roll over to today's game at 2:00. That does not mean they need 15 hits again. It just means, you know, another great day from the plate. If does that mean mm-hmm. 8 or 9 hits and 6 runs, that'll be good.
They should win the game.
Right.
They need to win all 3 games.
Absolutely.
You and I were exchanging some messaging last night. And I made that comment to you. You know, they should dominate this game, this series. This team they're getting their stadium rebuilt. I get that. You can tell they have little or no fan base. You could be rebuilding the Pete, and they'd be hanging off the crane watching the game. But they have no fan base. I think, is it fair to say, guys, really average talent And it's the kind of team that, if the Golden Eagles are, in fact, the eighth best team in the country, Kelly Center, they should dominate teams like this.
They should, and it was documented on this show how poor numbers-wise the ODU pitching staff is, you know, from top to bottom. So it was going to be a bad pitching staff against a team that has been struggling hitting. Well, the Eagles won round one yesterday, but they do need round two and round three. And all these are especially important because, again, they don't get to attack Coastal Carolina on their own. They've got to have other people do it. And so far, everybody has fallen short. So I don't think that the momentum that Texas State has is sustainable. I don't think the momentum that Louisiana Monroe, who by far is the shock of the league this year.
Yeah, they lost last night.
Okay, so there you go. I think ULM is going to start coming back down to earth. So when all this settles here in 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be Southern Miss and Coastal Carolina.
Game actually starts here in about 45 minutes or early. They're on the East Coast. So we'll keep you up to date as we move through the special two-hour show today. Also, Dima was away yesterday, but he was working. He was covering the first spring football scrimmage game. And I got to tell you, you surprised me. Your initial reaction was maybe you saw things a little better than perhaps you'd anticipated.
No doubt. And you can go read my full recap on my website at hubcityspokes.com/sports. You can go to my Twitter, and I linked it there. It's a deep, in-depth recap of the whole thing. It's almost 1,600 words. I wrote it like the whole thing this morning. It took me like 2 hours. And it has all the stats and everything like that. But just some overarching themes from that story was, I thought for the most part, pretty clean. And this is, again, an absolutely new roster. You know, top to bottom new, no turnovers throughout the whole scrimmage. There was very few penalties. Everybody seemed to be kind of knowing what they were doing, which is, I think, a very encouraging sign when you're only six practices in the spring. You know, the quarterback battle, all three quarterbacks between John White, Landry Liddy, and Ethan Hampton, all three of them got just about equal reps. To me, I was most impressed with John White. I really was. His arm strength seemed to have improved. He was able to throw that, you know, boundary throw a lot better than in terms of teams in years past. Hampton looked good. He was very efficient. He only had two or three incompletions. And then Liddy was probably the only one that was kind of lacking behind the other two. So I really think, and from the depth charts scenario, and you can read this in my story, was Ethan Hampton went with the ones, John White went with the twos, and then the next drive, John White went with the ones, and then Ethan Hampton with the twos. So obviously we're way too early to see anybody separating themselves. The run game to me was good at times. It was very quiet early, but then it was very obvious that the defense was getting tired and they were able to break through some of those holes. Some skill guys on the outside. Davis Dalton was finally back, and he was finally, you know, on that outside receiver, because they really don't have a lot of size in their receiver pool. He made some good plays, including a really nice catch from a ball from Hampton. You know, the defense, I would say it's just a little concerning to me, the defense is, because the front seven is just doesn't look very big, just in my opinion. The offensive line, I thought, was good at times. You know, there's still just a lot of inexperience there. You have obviously nine guys who've never taken a Division I snap. The overall takeaway was, I really was going into that scrimmage thinking this is probably going to be a little chaotic, you know, a lot of penalties, a lot of, you know, illegal motions, whatever it is, maybe some interceptions, but it really wasn't. It was pretty clean, you know, some nitpicking here and there, but it was a very clean scrimmage.
Very encouraged what he says about John White. I'm really pulling for him, Kelly.
Yeah, no disrespect to the other quarterbacks, but this is a guy that has stuck it out. He's played it in the old-fashioned way. You stick around and you win the position. And I know there was some concern that the Eagles were going to lose Davis Dalton in the offseason through the portal, but he's another guy that has stayed. And I think he's going to be an instrumental, you know, figure on that on the offensive side of the ball.
If he stays healthy, for sure. You know, that's been his problem, is that he just can't get on the field. And even earlier this spring, the first week, he wasn't really out there because he was nursing a hamstring injury. So, I mean, if he can stay healthy, he can be a weapon for them, but he just hasn't proven he's going to be able to do that yet.
All right, fill in this blank. The coaching staff is much blank than last year.
Inexperienced. Yep. I mean, outside of Anderson and Cephalo, of course. I mean, you have a defensive coordinator who's never done this before. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of other younger guys, you know, around it. It's just an overall inexperienced group. I mean, that's just what everybody's just going to have to accept. It's just about whether or not the coaching can kind of override that a little bit. Blake Anderson's very experienced, and Kyle Cephalo's.
And the blank that I would put in there is relaxed.
Yeah.
This coaching staff is a lot more relaxed. You're not on their predecessors, particularly with the man at the top. You're always on pins and needles walking around. I mean, even people who worked with him in the office were saying, mm-hmm. you know, we're a little bit intimidated by that guy. But he's at Memphis now, and this is a whole new thing, and everybody is on.
The people I know at the school love Blake Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just understanding what you have, too. It takes an experienced guy that with a little bit of chill in him to be able to put this together.
All right, when we come back, we want to start bringing some of our buddies on. The first guest we're going to bring on this anniversary show is the first contributor that we secured with the Eagle Hour. I was thinking about it last night. Kelly, you've been practically since – you were within a couple of months, I think, of when we started this.
Right.
You worked with me and Jim Taylor originally, correct?
Stump. Stump,
who's going to be on the show later.
Okay.
And the great Stump Taylor. So when we come back – we're going to talk to the first regular contributor that we found that was willing to spend time with us. That took a while. And he's been with us ever since for some unexplained reason. We'll ask him why when the Super Talk Eagle Hour 10th anniversary show continues.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back, everybody. Eagle Tire West sponsoring this segment of the 10th anniversary show. Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West, family owned and operated since 1985. They sell Goodyear tires, full truck and auto service, and they're all big Southern Miss supporters. So they've been family owned and operated since 1985. Do business with local merchants, and Eagle Tire West is an example. Okay, so 10 years ago, we start this show, and we got to thinking, you know, we need analysts. We need people who can bring their expertise to the show on a regular basis. This man, believe it or not, is the first person we called. I think he was on the second or third show we ever did. And for some reason that I have never fully understood, he has never told us to take a hike. Patrick McGee remains a great friend of the Eagle Hour and a guy that has contributed so much over the past 10 years. And Patrick, first of all, on behalf of everybody associated with the show, man, and I mean this sincerely, we greatly appreciate your long-running association with us.
Yeah, well, I remember whenever you called me, whenever you first started, we're going to put this show together. I think you had heard me on Super Talk, I think one of the rare moments.
Yep.
They kind of had me on I guess it was Matt Wyatt show or something.
Yep.
And whenever you called me up, said if I wanted to do it, I was like, yeah, sure.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm impressed that y'all been able to keep this thing going for a decade.
Well, you're part of the reason. And I remember the interview that I heard you do. I remember they asked you to tell them, now, who has the biggest sports fan base on the Gulf Coast? Is it Ole Miss or is it Mississippi State? And I remember Patrick going, well, actually, I would say it's Southern Miss followed by LSU. And I thought, this guy knows exactly what he's talking about. That's when I reached out to him. Do you remember that, Patrick?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what was said. I do remember the topic. I think, yeah, I remember going through that, and I put Southern Miss up there at the top. I think State and LSU and at Ole Miss, you know, they have a corner of fans here or there, but they don't really do that hot on the coast in general. But, yeah, I do remember that interview.
The Bayou Bengals do pretty well on the coast, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that have connections to the area, and everybody, you know, there's a fair amount of bandwagon fans across the South, and a lot of people were on the LSU bandwagon while I was on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and it was easy to see that, and yeah, I mean, this LSU fans kind of pop up whenever things are going well, and things were going pretty well at that moment.
Well, Patrick, as a journalist, one of the things that journalists are supposed to do is to be able to sit back and look at things with a clear mind, not biased one way or the other. In the 10 years that, of course, you're primarily now covering New Orleans sports, but you're certainly familiar with Southern Miss, where would you say that Southern Miss 10 years ago compared to today sits in the overall collegiate landscape as far as importance, significance, relevance?
Well, baseball, obviously, they're right there in the mix. You know, with some of the best athletic departments in the country, they've invested wisely and made, you know, a buck go a long way over the last 15, 20 years. And I think everybody, they really kind of gained the respect of the nation. You know, it's, I know Southern Miss baseball is going through just a tiny slump here recently, and then and you pull up the D1 baseball poll this week, and they're number 8 in the nation.
Yes.
And you're like, well, I don't think they're probably number 8 right now, but I guess that's a sign of respect for what they've got going right now. And, you know, football, it's, you know, thank goodness you see a little bit of a turn of corn, but it's a corner turn. But it's, you know, it's really interesting. It's been such a roller coaster in terms of football, some high valley, you know, reaching some high peaks and some low valleys. But Southern Miss fans, you know, they crave a winner. And I know they won it so badly under Blake Anderson and just wish he had gotten the job, what, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm really interested to see what happens under Blake. And obviously, I mean, heck, I go way back with Southern Miss. I graduated from Southern Miss and I was already covering Southern Miss while I was in college. And I got to see a good bit of the, you know, the heyday. You know, I'm followed Jeff Bauer, everything through it. So I know what Southern Miss football is capable of. And basketball is basketball. You know, I think Ladner got him going pretty good there late. But obviously, Southern Miss fans are also kind of craving a consistent winner there.
No doubt about it. And, you know, when you look at the overall scheme of Southern Miss, it just seems like, Patrick, there's times where you said it right there off the top of your head, you know, fans crave a winner, a winning product, and that's, I think, why the
right.
baseball program has been so successful. But they also crave it in the other sports, and that's why they just, you know, almost earn for or what's the word I'm looking for? Yearn for Blake Anderson to do well this fall.
Yeah, I mean, and to expect it to happen immediately is going to be. I know everybody is impatient these days and think you can just turn around everything in 1 year in the portal. That's not really how it works in the Group of Five. If that's what they're still calling. So it's going to take a little bit of a build, and you put a competitive product on that on the field first time out and kind of, you know, be able to invest your money wisely. It's all about what you do with your money if you do it right, if you do it smart, you know. And I think Blake Anderson's a smart guy, and I think he's put together a good staff, especially on the offensive side. So I think it's going to be a program that scores a lot of points. And can you maintain? I mean, he basically recruit in like 80-90% of the roster, and you just don't know what you're going to get sometimes with that. But I, you know, Blake's a smart guy. He's been a pretty consistent winner throughout his career, and I'm not one to question him.
And Patrick, wouldn't you think he's the right guy for the job given all the circumstances here?
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, in that circumstance there wasn't, you know, somebody that was going to come in at that point and have that kind of resume that Blake has. I think it probably. You know, whenever it happened, I know I had a friend or two say, well, they could go this way or go that way. They could talk to this guy. I just don't think they really have any choice here mm-hmm. but to make Blake Anderson the head coach. Just because, you know, it's hard to find somebody that's shown they can win football at a high level. And he did that at Utah State.
Right.
And he was part of, you know, really a peak of Southern Miss football back in, 2011. So he knows the program. And he knows the type of athlete he has to get there. I know things have changed in the last 15-plus years, but, yeah, I mean, Blake made a lot of sense.
One thing we've done throughout the 10 years on the show, too, Patrick, and you've been a huge part of that, is we've tried to keep up with the New Orleans Saints because we know how many Saints fans there are here in South Mississippi, really throughout Mississippi, but particularly here in South Mississippi. With the draft right on the horizon, are things optimistic at Saints headquarters?
Yeah, I think really there is an optimism surrounding the franchise at this moment. I mean, everybody's kind of giddy that it appears they found a quarterback who looks like he could be Pro Bowl caliber, you know, or even maybe even, you know, something. He could be the best quarterback in NFC South easily next season. I think there's a case to be made for that, just the way he looked through the close of last season. We'll find out whenever the year kicks off. But if you can build around Tyler Shuck and give him playmakers, and they've already gone out, got a running back in Etienne, they got a 1,000-yard rusher, they've made a signing there on the offensive line. So, and it feels like things are building. They're bringing in players because they have a quarterback. It's so much easier to recruit free agents in the NFL whenever you have a quarterback you can point to and say, hey, this guy's on the up and up, you know, he's on the way up, and, you know, he's going to win games here. That wasn't really something they could, you know, just do the last 2 or 3 years. So that Tyler Shuck has really, really brought a fair amount of optimism to the Saints and the going into the 2026 season.
Patrick, is the paper going to pay for you to go to Paris, France this fall when the Saints play the Todd Monken-led Cleveland Browns?
No, I as the sports editor, I'm not the one asking for money. I'm the one figuring out where the money goes.
Ah.
And we'll be sending staff members over there to Paris. Still kind of figure out how many we're going to send over. But, yes, we'll be well-staffed in Paris.
You know, you think about it, with the history of New Orleans, it's kind of ironic that the Saints are going to play in Paris. The French connection to Louisiana.
It actually makes perfect sense. You know, my daughter lives there, and I visited her last summer, and several of the sports bars over there are decked out with Saints stuff. New Orleans, I mean, New Orleans Saints, they are the adopted team.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me that if the NFL was going to go there, that the Saints would be one of the teams.
All right, Patrick, we got a minute left. I sure appreciate you coming on, but I want you to let people know what's happened in your life over the last 10 years, because you got a whole lot different role right now than you did when I met you 10 years ago.
Oh, how many seconds do I have here?
You've got 53.
Well, I got engaged in December. I've been in New Orleans a good 5 years. It'll be 5 years in September, and it was really a good move for me whenever I decided to take a job with NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. And it's been great for my career and to rise up and be sports editor at Times-Picayune and the Advocate. I remember at one point I said, I'd like to, you know, I was at the Hasburg American and said, I'd like to work at the Sun-Herald and I'd like to work at the Times-Picayune. And, you know, here I am, sports editor of the Times-Picayune. It's really couldn't have worked out better for me.
Good.
You kind of dream about this, but it came true. So
right.
I appreciate
good.
Everything that, you know, what role y'all have played in my success on the Southern Miss side, and I appreciate the relationship I have with y'all at this point.
Well, clearly, being a contributor to the Eagle Hour,
is
being listed on your resume.
He's the sports editor of the Times.
Yeah, put him over the top.
We've always taken credit for that, Patrick, whether we should have or not. Hey, my friend, you mean a lot to us, Patrick, and we really appreciate you, and we look forward to having you back on the Eagle Hour really soon.
All right. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate y'all.
All right. Patrick McGee, everybody. I think we're fully responsible for that, don't you?
I would need to look at his resume, though, to see how he feels about
it.
How far up is it on there?
We have a very highly educated former staff member, Dex, on the 10th anniversary.
Oh,
of the
what
Eagle
degree
Hour.
Might they have?
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Third segment of the 10th anniversary show, hour number one, sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. DBAT, a great place for baseball, softball, all sorts of sports training. We really appreciate all that they do. All right, our next guest is a member of the 2024 M Club Hall of Fame. He was a 3-year letterman at Southern Miss, a punter. He kicked 199 punts, and listen, this is pretty impressive. 199 punts, averaging 42.7 yards per kick. He is second in single game punting yards. He punted for 474 yards against North Carolina State, offense must not have been too good that
yes.
day. He is third all-time in average yards per kick. He has a 76-yard punt, the second longest punt in the history of M.M. Roberts Stadium, and is second only to,
Don't say it.
The immortal Ray Guy. If it weren't for Ray Guy, this guy would be Ray Guy. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that I mean, he's even ahead of Gerald Wilson.
Who was a great.
He was.
All of that aside, he's our brother and our dear friend, Luke Johnson, and, of course, a long time co-host of the Eagle Hour.
Doctor.
Dr. Johnson, good afternoon to you.
Hey, guys. Great to join you. Congratulations on a decade. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, you lost that bet, Luke.
Well, Kelly, when you came on the show, I thought we had about 10 minutes left.
I know. That's
so
what
congratulations.
That's what I'm saying. You lost that bet.
You'd be on the show for one segment.
Yeah.
Now I know Luke was more optimistic than me when he first came on the show. He was giving him 10 minutes.
Read it and weep.
Luke, you were on a number of years with us, off the top of your head, and I didn't want to say anything inaccurate, but gosh, you were on this show 6-7 years, right? It was a long stretch.
I think so. The years got again. This is a shot, but the years got longer when Kelly got on the show. But yeah, it was like 6-7, maybe. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah,
Stump. 2017, 2016,
mm-hmm.
and I was on till 2024. Yes, yeah, so right. About 7 years.
You know, I got a lot of great memories of you being on the radio show, but I got to tell you one I was thinking about last night. I'd never do this again, but I remember leaving my mother's house on Christmas afternoon and driving to Shreveport, Louisiana, where I met Luke. And we did the radio show there a couple of days, as I recall, from the Independence Bowl, right, Luke?
Right.
Yeah, it was the Independence Bowl. It was freezing cold.
Oh,
thankfully,
gosh.
We had a spot in the I think there were like straight line winds at kickoff. That's how hard the wind was blowing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were up in the press box. That was a super fun day. That was a great trip. You know, you led into the with the D-bat. One of the best memories of my Eagle Hour career was pulling my hamstring twice on set live while I was running the infamous 5.240 with Kelly Timon. So
yeah.
That was Dima doesn't know about that. We actually
did you know
a
that?
D-bat trainer,
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
A D-bat trainer actually. I spent one segment warming up and getting stretched out, and I popped a hammy regardless. Jeremy McClain warned me about that. I didn't need it, but I stretched out for one segment and ran the 40 in the next segment.
Well, you know, though, that and I did a little research afterward. That was a pretty impressive time. Pretty impressive time, Luke Johnson.
I was happy with it. I'd read where, you know, some guys that were super fast that were my age had run one. I don't know, like 4.8, 4.9, so I felt pretty good about it. Now, the video of it was awful because I look like a fire engine creeping along down the road, but we got through it.
Well, I'm going to tell you another great memory. That there's so many with Luke. Was the much ballyhooed beignet eating contest where you curb-stomped Santer. You curb-stomped him, Luke.
It wasn't just the execution. It was the preparation because I actually put an entire garbage bag over my body.
He should have.
To protect myself from the powdered sugar. Santer, on the other hand, just got it everywhere and then poured powdered sugar on top of his own head in humiliation.
And I think he was wearing all black that day, if I remember correctly from the photos.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
People thought I had a really bad drug problem when I walked out of there that day. I said, this guy's got problems.
It was a curb stomp, and you were embarrassed.
It was.
You didn't even. How many beignets did you knock down, Luke?
I mean, I think I did like 6 or 7 in like less than a minute.
We just had 2 6-7 jokes though. On the show in like 30 minutes.
I did not mean that at all. 6-7, by the way, is a reference to Psalm 67. That's what
right.
I've been
I love
teaching
that.
My nieces and nephews. Let right. the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Anyway,
right.
Yeah, I was just kind of surprised that Santer just kind of stared at his the first 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And I think I had 2 down before he took his first bite.
He was very disappointing.
I like to savor my food and enjoy it.
You like to savor it all over your head
as it goes down.
Now, Dima, this is not going to surprise you. He did eat all the beignets. It just took him longer.
I enjoyed them.
I'm surprised you didn't get there an hour early and hit everybody else's.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
There was, we had many memorable interviews. I mean, we had one time Sander and I had Ricky Stenhouse Jr. on the Eagle Hour, of course, all the time with Hill Denson. We talked to Eli Gold. We talked to just so many people. Well, one of the most memorable, though, is when we interviewed, I think it was Cliff Russell. It may have been Cliff Russell, and he had to take – no, it wasn't. It was Trey Cuevas. Trey Cuevas had to take refuge in a port-a-john in the Roost because it was raining.
That. I remember that.
And the actual – that one and Taylor Braley actually being in a deer stand, that was pretty good. And we let Colt Smith know that he was all conference through Taylor Braley while they were fishing.
Yeah, I
so
do remember
just
that.
Some memorable interviews.
I do remember that. I'm glad you brought back the Cuevas interview because only that guy would have made a point of telling us where he was doing the interview from. But he let us know he was inside a port-a-john at Pete Taylor Park doing the interview.
But one of the things I've never asked you, Luke, and I'll do it while we're on the air, one of the things that you had to deal with that Bob and I didn't have to deal with was that you played at Southern Miss, but you had a journalistic responsibility to call it as you see it. But the fact that you had skin in the game and blood in the game, so to speak, how were you able to handle that fine line between being a fan and being a reporter?
Well, you know, a lot of fans are passionate, and they don't realize what the student athlete has been through. For instance, you know, if I'm out there on fourth down, I'm not trying to intentionally shank a punt. And so I know what it's like, you know, when you're coming off the field and a dude's throwing a pick six or somebody's just, you know, missed the block or somebody has missed the tackle. I mean, you feel pain in that situation because your brother feels pain. And you know what it's like. You know the successes. You know the failures. And so I think the – What I was able to do was the perspective of it. Maybe sometimes, you know, being a little light on criticism, other times being able to, you know, maybe specify criticism and being able to not just throw criticism at the whole thing, but being able to find out parts to criticize and parts to praise just because you've been there. And that's, you know, that's just I think that's why we had such a good time together was, you know, we had different perspectives, and I was able to bring that student-athlete perspective.
But I think also on top of that, from my point of view, is that if you did have a criticism, it wasn't just a naked criticism in the sense that, well, this is what's wrong. You would usually say, here's how this could potentially be solved. And I think that people appreciate that when people don't just come with, well, it's easy for anybody to complain, but what's the solution? What's the answer? And, of course, none of us have any control or power to do that. But you had recommendations, so that's something I always appreciated.
Right. Me too, Luke. Luke, I got about 90 seconds left, but I've got to pass something along to you. One of the great highlights of my broadcasting career came week before last when Jeff Bauer agreed to spend the morning with me, and we sat down and did about an hour and 15-minute interview. It was like interviewing my hero, you know, for me. It was really thrilling. Anyway, your name came up. I told him the story you relayed to me about being at a basketball game with him and telling him that you wanted to be like Ray Guy and play more than one position, and the coach looked at you and said, yeah, Luke, but Ray Guy was an athlete. Well, he got a big charge out of that, but I want you to know what he said to me about you, Luke Johnson. He said, big smile, he said, Luke Johnson, he said, the truth is, the day I met him, I wouldn't have bet you $5 that he could be a Division I punter. But through his hard work and dedication and the character that that young man has, he became the best kicker I ever coached. So I wanted you to know that's what your coach said about you, Luke.
Luke?
That's an honor. He's a hero. He's one of my heroes. And he gave me a chance. And he just didn't give me a chance. He gave a whole lot of guys a chance that ended up, you know, contributing to the success in the history of Southern Miss football. And that just speaks to the type of coach he was and the type of dude he is. I love him. It was an honor to play for him. It's an honor to spend the time with you guys over the last decade. Appreciate you having me on today.
Same here, my man. We love you, Luke, and our best regards to Lauren.
All right, guys. Love y'all. See you later.
Luke Johnson, everybody, and he is a true brother.
Yeah, we did we determine whether we're calling him Doctor?
I'm going to call him Luke. You can call him.
Yeah, he's pretty big. We'll call him what he wants
you
to be
can
called.
Call him whatever you want to call him. All right, Demon's going to catch up on everything you need to know about what's coming up today, tomorrow, this weekend at Southern Miss as the two-hour edition of the 10th anniversary Eagle Hour continues.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. We want to thank Luke Johnson and Patrick McGee, of course, for joining us first half. Got another hour to go after this segment, so we're really grateful for them. All right, so when we started the show 10 years ago, it's 10 years ago actually tomorrow, we started the show 10 years ago. Obviously, the first thing we said is we wanted to be guest-driven. You know, nobody wants to hear me and Kelly and, at the time, Stump Taylor talk for 2 hours because why would anyone want to listen to me and you for 2 hours, Kelly? Right?
Well, it's, especially Kelly.
It's real easy to get sick and tired of one voice.
Yes.
Or two voices or if two that's voices. All you ever hear.
So we had to get guests. And so today we thought, how do you not get the first guest that ever came on the Eagle Hour? And so we found him. And he's doing yard work today, he said. Chuck Abity, famous sports writer from the Hattiesburg American days when it was a real newspaper.
And they actually reported on Southern
they
Miss.
They actually reported on Southern Miss. And now, of course, does a lot of stuff for Pearl River Community College, including hosting a Wildcat radio show every Tuesday on Hattiesburg's Super Talk station. Chuck, obviously, we wanted to have you on. You were my first guest 10 years ago, and we haven't aged a day since, have we?
Not one bit, Bob. Not one. And, you know, your show has really taken off, and I think it's great because, to be frank with you, you're probably the number one show that people can communicate with about USM sports.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Nobody else has anything like this.
Right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And we've had 10 great years despite Kelly. What degree does that surprise you, Chuck? He hasn't derailed this show before now.
Well, you know, he and I were kind of together. He was on television. I was in the newspaper business. Mm-hmm. And isn't it a shame what's happened now? You know, the demise of the newspapers, even television. You know, used to, you know, when Kelly was on there, they would give us 5 or 6 items every show. Mm-hmm. Now you turn on the television and listen to the sports, and you may get 2 items. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you? Isn't that right, Kelly?
Well, and back then too, Chuck, they hired adults.
yeah. Okay.
Instead of sticking high school kids on there, you know.
Wow. So there goes the relationship with the local TV.
Yeah, media. Scott Kirk's going to be in here in a few minutes.
Well, he was supposed to come, but I don't know now that he'll
imagine me opening my mouth and inserting my foot there like that.
That's a shock. First time in 10 years, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure
this
of that.
This week.
Chuck,
I want to ask you a question that Kelly asked Patrick McGee earlier. I thought it was a great question. 10 years ago, when you first came on the Eagle Hour, where do you find the Southern Miss athletic department now, the major sports at USM, today as compared to 10 years ago today?
Well, it's obvious that baseball is there. Okay, we know that. I mean, the fact that they were ranked 8th right now, after having really not a mediocre week, that tells you the respect that the program has gained nationally. Now, I'm going to tell you, football and basketball, I'm really concerned about what's happening there. You know, Bob, I'm not a big fan of the transfer portal. I'm not a big fan of NIL things that are going on. And USM, and I hate to say this, but we're falling behind, okay? And it's all about money. It's the dollar, okay?
No.
And I hate that I hate that every fall I have to go online and print our roster so I could have one, okay, to look at. Because, you know, the days of signing freshmen out of high school and grooming them for a couple of years to make them stars, those days are gone, okay? I really feel for the average high school athlete right now, because, you know, that's not the name of the game anymore, okay? And you know, Bob, when you and I, back in the heyday, Bobby Collins, Jim Carmody, those guys, they would get those high school players like Gerald Bayless, Richard Byrd, Cliff Lewis, all those guys. They'd get those guys for a year or two and turn them into All-Americans, okay? We can't do that now.
Right.
I mean, can you think about this? I was asked this the other day when I was speaking at a club. They asked me about Reggie Collier. In today's football world, would Reggie Collier play 4 years at USM?
No.
You guys know, like me, no.
No.
He would not.
No.
You're... Because after that first year, we're done, okay?
Right.
The offers will be just coming in millions,
right?
Okay? Yeah. And the same goes for Brett Favre, okay? And that whole scenario upsets me. That we've come to this in football. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Chuck. And we all talk about that a lot on this show, but it is the world, unfortunately, that we live in today. Hey, my friend, clock's up against me, but I wanted to thank you for coming on. Thank you for 10 years ago, and I'm proud to say that our friendship remains strong after all this time.
Well, we'll do it again, Bob, I assure you.
All right, my good friend Chuck Abity, and I appreciate all that he does for the community. He's quite a history, doesn't he?
Hour gone already on this show?
Hour gone already, but still to come, we've got Scott Kirk, Andrew Abity, Hill Denson, Stump Taylor.
The Who's Who edition rolls along.
We're rolling right into the second
and hour. Dima Mixon.
Now, of course, Dima Mixon. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Second hour of the 10th anniversary of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we really appreciate everybody hanging around with us today. All right, this segment's going to be a little different. We're going to have, you know, one thing's been really important to our show is to get sports journalists involved with, you know, sharing their expertise with us. We've been very, very fortunate that we have Dima Mixon now, of course, back on the show with us. In between Dima, we had Andrew Abity, and we were very happy to have Andrew, who I thought did a great job here covering sports. And Andrew was a host on the show for several months. And then Scott Kirk, the sports director out at WDAM, has become a good friend of the show, and we appreciate all of these guys. We've got Andrew on the phone with us from sunny Florida. Scott has come to the studio and joined us, and of course, Dima's here. So, Dima, I'll let you take this segment.
Yeah, I'll start by saying the game in Norfolk has started up there, and Southern Miss already has the lead. Home run by Joey Urban, so 1-0 Golden Eagles. Well, Andrew, welcome back, man. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, guys, happy to be back. When Bob told me that they were going to do this anniversary show, I was like, Bob, I was there for maybe like 10 minutes. I was only on the show for about 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, you contributed to Southern Miss for much longer than that, and contributed to with your writing and stuff. And then obviously, Scott, welcome in on the show today. Andrew, I guess you should start and just kind of tell us, how's life been since, you know, moving to Florida, covering the Gators? How different is it than covering Southern Miss? I'm sure insanely different. And, you know, how have you kind of found your way down there?
Tell us about Humphrey, too.
Yeah.
He's actually sitting on my lap right now. He picked a March Madness, which, for those who don't know, Humphrey's my loyal companion wiener dog.
if they didn't,
yeah, he
hilarious.
Picked a March Madness bracket for about 5 games. He did better than me, and then, you know, all was right in the world, so yeah. My reputation was not damaged, at least from that. But no, it's been actually 8 months since I left Hattiesburg. We're actually coming back for probably at the end of the month for a game. Just taking some time off, going to hit up the Jazz Fest circuit. But, no, it's been pretty busy. Crossover season finally ended here where, you know, I had Florida Gator basketball and Florida baseball going on at once. And, yeah, I mean, the Gator basketball was kind of crazy, especially the ending. You know,
yeah, busted my bracket, Andrew. Goodness.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys should have called me. I didn't see them losing to Iowa, but I didn't see them making it past the second weekend.
Okay.
Covering Florida.
They just kind of went cold.
Covering Florida basketball, I feel like the most viral moment, maybe not wasn't the shot. It was like the super buff jacked guy that they showed. Buff fan. Can you tell us about that guy? I don't know his name or anything. I know about the viral moment. He was like one of the most jacked dudes I've ever seen wearing a Gators basketball jersey.
Honestly, I don't know much about him. I know who you speak of. We've been calling him Muscle Man in these parts. He just kind of became, I guess, the meme because he made himself a bigger meme by going to the Sweet 16 and Elite 8. I really hope he doesn't show up to the Final Four because I know they'll make me write about it. I couldn't tell you too much on it. It was a crazy basketball season. I was also sleep deprived by the time that rolled around. So I was kind of like, all right, I'm ready for this to kind of start to wrap up. But, you know, it was cool. I got to make a lot of trips. I got to go to Duke, which was a cool experience. Went up to Madison Square Garden for the UConn game. And, last couple weeks were kind of crazy. So life finally gets to settle down now, and I can really enjoy baseball, which if anybody's followed my work through the years, they know that's probably what I prefer to do. So.
No doubt. Andrew, I thought it was funny because there was a tweet going around when Iowa hit that shot against Florida, and you're kind of looking up at the scoreboard, but you kind of went viral in your face in that moment. I mean, I don't know if you saw that tweet or not, but
I did. Okay. I got tagged a few times. The crazy part is people were ripping on my face, and all I'm doing is looking up at the scoreboard.
Right, right.
Also, low-key angry that I have to rewrite my story or half of my story.
Yeah.
And, you know, for my new job, I have to have 3 stories as soon as the buzzer ends. So, right. Like, there's an extra layer of stress. Mm-hmm. And, man, if you look at the guys next to me, their faces are crazier. Like, they're all up in the moment. Me, I'm in, you know, work mode right there.
Yeah. Scott, I mean, when you came to Hattiesburg, I guess how much did you know of Southern Miss and how much has really, you know, Southern Miss kind of changed your life in an instance?
Oh, it totally has. I would say I knew about Brett Favre. And that might be it. I definitely didn't know about the baseball gem that was here at all. I knew about Southern Miss football, Jamie Collins, Brett Favre, and that was it. And I've learned so much. I'm so hyper-focused on what I do. I mean, I literally moved here to work, so I made the most of it. So I had to really, like, obsess myself and, like, okay, what are the people here about? What makes them passionate? And it's been so fun to see because I think it really is a hidden gem, not just in the college sports world, but I think nationally. Mm-hmm. A lot of passion here for maybe a community that's so small when you look at the spec of things. But there's such good talent that comes out of here. Right. It's crazy to see, and we're starting to see at the high school level.
Yep.
JoJo Parker getting drafted top 10.
Yep.
We might have another top 10 pick out of Oak Grove High School,
yes.
EJ Booth. And those are just two names over the last couple of years. But, you know, the Brian Dozier is coming out of here to go play professional baseball.
Yeah.
Matt Wallner with the Twins right now. All the prospects, you know, for...
I wouldn't look past Summerall either, Drew Davis. Exactly. You know, I know he's a year away, but, I mean, he's going to be a great prodigy.
I go on and on. And I think for someone who's not from Mississippi, it is astonishing to see how much talent comes through here. And it needs to be appreciated. And I think eventually it will. Today we got Connor Griffin making his debut in MLB.
Yeah.
Let me take you one step further. Crazy. Arguably the greatest running back to ever play football for Mississippi. And the greatest wide receiver
to ever
play football for Mississippi.
That's right.
Hey, Andrew, I want to jump in here. I want to ask you a question. You're down there covering Florida now, and you covered Southern Miss baseball for many years. Renowned fan base here. I don't need to tell you about the Pete. Compare the two atmospheres.
Yeah, they're definitely different. I think, like, so, you know, Florida had a massive baseball renovation to the stadium, like, about 2-3 years ago. And so, and what I've noticed whenever they have those stadiums, like, they're more minor leaguey, and you know, those older stadiums had more of a homey feel to it. But, I mean, it's an impressive stadium. Like, honestly, I think some of the renovations that Florida did to Condren Ballpark, like, would probably be ideal for Southern Miss in some ways. But, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, Florida is a football state. Like, basketball is, like, you know, they're happy, they're good, and they're, but it's not year-round. Like, this place eats and sleeps football, especially now with John Summerall and a new head coach here, which has been an odd full-circle thing on my end. But, yeah, I mean, baseball, I mean, they like their baseball here. They like to gripe here, much like the Golden Eagle fan base, except here they complain about the pitching coach and not the hitting coach. So, you know, all the fans are, it's the same, but at the same time, you know, it's still fun. It's still a good brand of baseball. Watching the SEC on a weekend basis is definitely a change of pace after, you know, there are some Sun Belt teams that drop off and the USA teams as I've watched through the years. But, you know, every weekend so far, there's no breaks for Florida baseball, it seems.
Is there a Gator post, Andrew, that, you know, people jump off
there's
the bridge?
There's like 40 of them. There's, and that's under, there's hundreds of them. People think Eagle Post was terrible, which I heard it's dead now.
Yeah, they took it down or something. Now there's Eagle Post Plus or something.
Wow, you guys get paid for it.
No, there's probably like hundreds. There's at least like, there's about 6 or 7 I post into just to get my work out there, but I know there's hundreds of them. The big one has like 100,000 people in it.
Wow. How do the burners compare? Because I feel like there's nothing like a Southern Miss burner account.
I haven't really tapped into the Twitter. I've tapped into the Florida fan base on Facebook. I'm not really well enough known on the Twitterverse yet. The Twitter's keeps changing every day too now, since they keep tweaking it. And I don't say that in a negative way. It's just how it is.
Yeah, you can't even copy links anymore.
Yeah, so, like, it's been interesting. I do think for the size of Southern Miss, you know, you could – it's kind of a similar thing with the talent on the field. For the amount of talent that state has and how small the population is, it's the same deal with burners. Like, the amount of burners that come out of that area is kind of absurd.
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, Andrew, I really appreciate you coming on the show. When we put the Eagle Hour together, one of the things that – I knew we had to do is we had to get sports journalists involved. You guys are the ones out covering this stuff every day. We sit in a studio largely. And so the insight that you and Scott and Dima have brought to the Eagle Hour has been immeasurably important. And hey, you were here just a few months, but you made a big contribution, my man. And we always enjoyed our work with you, and you're welcome here anytime. And I thank you for coming on the show today, Andrew.
I appreciate it. I look forward to getting Kelly's bonus check this month.
It's in the mail, Andrew. It's in the
Might
mail.
Not be signed. Okay.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Abbott, everybody down in Florida. Scott, you going to stick around a segment with us?
Totally.
All right. I'm fixing to teach both of you young guys in this next segment. If I can get this guy on the phone, the type of question that you never ask. And Kelly Santer, in our 10-year history, has what our next guest called on air. I think that may be the dumbest question I've ever been asked, and we'll hear it from the horse's mouth next. As Scott Kirk's in the studio with us, Kelly will be back, Dima, Bob, the whole crew here celebrating 10 years of the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back, everybody, as we roll into hour two of this 10th anniversary of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Scott Kirk remains in the studio with us. Bob, Kelly, and Dima. We're, of course, in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. All right, our next guest, he's really going to need no introduction. He has won more college baseball games as a coach than most people have ever seen or have ever attended. He is also the only guest that ever chastised us on the air openly because we interrupted his fried gizzard lunch one day to put him on the Eagle Hour. We got the times mixed up, and when he came on the air, the first thing he said is, "Do you boys understand that I just sat down to eat my plate of gizzards, and you screwed up my lunch?" I can only be talking about Hill Denson, right?
And I find it hard to believe that gizzards were recommended by his cardiologist, fried gizzards. Yeah.
How about that, Coach? Are gizzards good for the heart?
Absolutely. The best thing you can eat for your heart.
It's probably good for your digestive tract, too, I imagine.
Well, fried and lard, too. That's when they're the best, aren't they, yeah. Coach? All right, Coach, I got Scott Kirk in here with us. He's the sports director of Channel 7, and, of course, Dima Mixon. You know both of these fine two young sports journalists. And
I sure do.
I was explaining to him what, you know, you got to be careful the kind of things that you ask. And I'll never forget one great memory of the Eagle Hour. We're doing the show live from the announcement of Coach Oz taking over as the head baseball coach. And on the air, Kelly, with a dead straight face, looked you right in the eye and said, "Coach, do you think the fact that Southern Miss has just hosted two super regionals will help with recruiting?" Do you remember what your response to that was, Coach?
I do.
Can you repeat that?
It was. Kelly, are you just stupid?
Yeah, well, don't put that up for a vote. Yeah. Talk about a landslide.
Now, Coach, you have been asked 1,000 questions through the years by 1,000 journalists, and you did rate that as one of the most memorable. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Of course, at his age, what does he remember anyway? I mean,
that's right.
I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that, Coach Edenson.
I just turned 48 yesterday, and on my birthday, and now you say it chastising me.
Well, 48? I didn't know you were dyslexic, Coach. I think I'm getting back at him today. Now this is
I can see this. Yeah. All right, Coach Denson, of course, is a great friend of ours, but he has been our co-host now for 5 consecutive years of baseball opening season. So, Coach Denson, for all the people who are lined up on the Tallahatchie Bridge right outside of Hattiesburg ready to jump because the Eagles have gone 7-6 in the last 13 games, what advice would you have for that fan base?
Well, I wish they would go ahead and jump, really, the ones that do that. So there's always the negative about everything. And absolutely. The game is built so that you have these things that are going on right now, and we know that you get out of them sooner or later. Cat might have gotten out yesterday and today. When you start back going, one or two get some hits that hadn't been getting anything, then all of a sudden everybody catches on fire, and it works that way. Same with pitchers, really. It's just that way. Mm-hmm. That's just what the game is. We talk to the players all the time about keeping your mind level. If you're really hot and all, don't get too high. And if you're really having trouble swinging or whatever, keep your chin up and stay right in the middle and just work your way out of it. That's the way it works. And everybody thinks there's some magic, something a coach can do to make them get out of it. It's not, unless it's something that just happens, you know, and they get out of it and things go. Like, for instance, sometime a kid has changed shoes they're wearing or whatever.
Kelly.
You know, and all of a sudden they get a hit and they think the shoes did it. And as long as they think it, that's good. So,
Kelly did an impression on Wednesday. Something to the terms of,
Bob, please come down from the bridge.
Yeah.
And Hill must have been standing beside him and said, "No, why don't you go ahead and jump? That's okay."
Jump.
Was he talking about
you
me?
You were a little panicked after one of those games. But part of it all goes back. Well, I'm almost afraid to ask Coach Denson anything for fear of what. but it all goes back to expectations. And it's my belief that had the Eagles not started the season the way they did, beating top-notch national competition that these same people would not have been jumping over a loss.
Oh, yeah, they would have been jumping.
Of you course think so?
Probably not quite as quickly, but, yeah, I think a devil would.
Well, Coach Scott Kirk from WDAM here. You know, what do you think it kind of says about where this program is and how it's been built, the fact that, you know, maybe fans are reacting this way because the expectations are so high?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great thing. It is, you know, that people care and want it to be better, and it affects them, and don't sleep good at night when we lose a game, like Southeastern Tuesday night. A lot of people are that way, and you know, we try to keep the players from getting that way, and, you know, you just stay even and know that you'll come out of it again. So, you know, people, it's great that people are caring like that, and, you know, into it enough. When we started, basically, we had nobody that cared, so it didn't matter if we went 0-22 or whatever. Starting, so,
well, you changed that, Coach.
One of our main objectives was to make it where people care, and yeah, you know, cared enough to cuss the coaches or whatever.
Well, you've certainly done that now. There, the passion,
yeah, the
for this
cussing
program,
the coaches, right? Part, yeah, absolutely. I got that done pretty quick.
Hey, when you moved the field from what is now the football practice field to where Pete Taylor Park is now, Coach Denson, what percentage of your job consisted of actually coaching, and what percentage was fundraising, lawn care, everything else that went? Because it was really more than being a baseball coach back when you took it over. You had to be everything.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't have a full-time assistant at all for the first 3 years, I believe, four. And we were able to, we had a graduate assistant and another guy that had his out-of-state tuition waived to help us a little bit, but they were young guys. And, you know, that the first coach I hired, or was able to hire, I say I hired him, he didn't really have full-time pay either, but was Corky Palmer. And he and I, he had a player that actually signed pro when we were going to get him, but he signed pro that year. But I was over recruiting Corky and got to know him. And, you know, he and I talked, and he said, I want to go with you on a trip sometime. Yeah, all right, that's fine. And so we got to know each other better, and I carried him on a trip to recruit Fred Cooley. We were up there at Jones, South Jones, to see him play. And, of course, Cooley hit one about 6 miles that day. And we both liked that. Even Corky liked it as a pitching guy.
You could,
but we got to be friends. And he came on as my first assistant that I had, even though he wasn't getting paid. I had one of our boosters helped him get an apartment free. And I don't think the AD knew that, but he gave him an apartment free. And his wife was, Debbie was a nurse, and she could make enough money they could live on. That was his first job in college. And long story short, he later, I had a call from Meridian one day wanting to know a good man to hire as their coach, and we talked to the president, and he ended up hiring Corky, and he went up there, and then I brought him back the year before I retired. So Corky was actually my assistant two different times.
You could really argue, and I know that Scott Berry argues this a lot, that, I mean, Southern Miss almost took that next step in the baseball program when that AstroTurf was installed. I think it was 2020, 2019, somewhere around there, and I know that Scott [S2] Yeah. [S1] Berry, you know, mentions that a lot. And you say that you tried to get him to do it 10 years before that.
Oh, yeah. He was hard-headed. He kept saying he wanted to play on dirt and all that. I said, boy, I'm just stupid.
Well, there's room in the boat.
But I finally got him to kind of let him see the light, and once he got it, he loved it. And that was a big step, if you go back and look at it. When that happened, it was a very big step, and probably the first big step would have been back when we got the stadium built. And most people don't know it. Well, a lot of people do know it. We actually paid cash for the stadium when we did it by selling seats in it for $250 a piece, and those people that bought that, their names are still on the seats.
Yep.
And they're sitting down sometimes. You have to squint your eyes because the black and gold is worn off and it's all silver now, so you have to squint to read the names. But those people each paid $50 for those seats, and at that time that raised enough money to pay for what we had drawn. Of course, it all ran over a little bit, and Coach Mack chewed on me for days about didn't quite, you know, all its building projects always run over what they say, but it wasn't much over, and we pretty well played. Ole Miss built theirs at the same time up there, and of course they did it with taxpayer money, and we did it with private financing. So,
Coach, thank you for coming on the show today. We didn't want to do this show without having you part of it. And
absolutely, I appreciate it, and congratulations on you guys on 10 years. That's a tremendous thing, and I think I've been listening to all 10 years. I might have missed a little bit early on, but once I found out about it and figured out how I could get on it, I hear you guys every morning the day after you do it. I'll listen to you in the morning when I'm walking.
All right, thank you. Coach Hill Denson, everybody. The only man that can call Scott very stupid. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to thank Coach Hill Denson, the one and only Hill Denson. Truly the only man that can say that about Scott Berry. And never give it a second thought.
Now, say what about Scott Berry, Bob?
That he was stupid.
Oh.
I mean, you'll never hear me say that. You're never going to hear it. Of course, let me say it. They love one another, so.
Of course.
They're close, close, close.
Now, when he said I was stupid, he meant it.
Well, that I understood. Yeah. I knew he was kidding about this.
I thought the quote of the day was, just go ahead and jump.
Yeah.
I wish they would go ahead and jump. Hey, when we started the Eagle Hour 10 years ago, the first co-host that joined me on the show was our next guest, and he's a guy that I just love and thank the world of, Jim Taylor. You probably know him as Stump Taylor, famous place kicker for the Golden Eagles, played for Jim Carmody, and who did else you play for, Stump? Curly Hallman, what am I thinking? Stump Taylor on the Eagle Hour, welcome back, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you guys. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
It's hard to believe, isn't it, Stump?
It is.
Time has passed fast. I haven't aged a day. Kelly looks like he could just kick at any moment, but I think I've held up a lot better.
Well, at least I could kick at any moment. Stump could never kick.
That's exactly right.
Now, for our young sports reporters in here, particularly Scott Kirk, you may not know this, Scott. This is the man that kicked the field goal that led to the defeat of Bear Bryant's Alabama Crimson Tide. And not a lot of people went to Alabama and beat Bear Bryant. But Stump did.
That is, okay.
Actually, it wasn't Bear Bryant. It was, oh, my gosh.
Gene Stallings?
I just went blank.
Gene Stallings?
Yeah, first ball game for Gene.
Okay. Well, forget it. It wasn't a big kick then. No, of course.
Hey, it was still a good kick.
And the fact that Stump was the first co-host just proves that a low unemployment rate is not always a good thing.
No, it does not.
Definitely.
Stump, I remember you telling me, too, that when you went out on the field, you visualized yourself. Was it in your grandma's backyard kicking field goals over her clothesline? I think you told me that story.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. She had an old clothesline back there. I kicked many balls over it as a kid.
Yep. And that's what you thought of to calm yourself down when you got ready to kick that field goal, right?
Well, I don't know if I thought about her backyard, but I thought about how many times I'd put myself in that situation, you know, mentally.
Right. Stump, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but you were the old conventional straight-on kicker that we all grew up with. But you were kind of on the tail end of as those went the way of the Buffalo. Did you ever entertain kicking sidewinder, soccer style, anything like that?
I played with it a little bit, but I just never could. There's something about it that I just could not figure out, you know. Field goal wise and all of that, I could do it off of a tee, but I just couldn't figure out where I was supposed to hit it and all of that kind of stuff. So I just never really fooled with it. Why, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No, I hear you.
Did you have the square toe shoe?
I did.
Do you still have that shoe?
I do not. I left it in my locker when I left.
Actually, it's in the Smithsonian, Bob.
Is it really?
Probably so.
Well, there was there is a tribute to Stump at 4th Street Bar and Grill. There is.
Oh, my.
Pictures and all.
For the most hot dogs ate on a Monday night?
Now, I got to share another memory that I have with Stump. I have a lot of good ones. But so Stump and I, we're covering baseball. And the Golden Eagles had gone out, I want to say, I think it was Texas El Paso. I can't remember the exact
name. It was San Antonio.
There we go. So they had finished the regular season, and they had just kicked their butts all weekend. And sure enough, that's who they draw in the opening of the tournament. So we asked Chad Kaye on the show the day before the game, Coach, is this an advantage that you just beat this team three times? He goes, yeah, I think it's a clear advantage. We really know all their intricacies, and we know what to expect. So it's a clear advantage. So Stump and I go to the game, and we lose the game. And to the same team they had just beaten three times in a row. And as Stump and I are leaving the game, and I know you remember this, Coach Kaye sees us. He flags us down in the parking lot and says, you guys remember what I told you about that being an advantage? Yeah. Forget everything I said. Do you remember that, Stump?
I thought maybe you guys quoted Hill Denson and said, Coach Kaye, you're just stupid. No.
You do remember that day, right, Stump? You remember that?
I remember it well. He says something like, can we redo that interview or something like that?
And for the benefit of our young reporters here, Jim Taylor is the son of Mike Taylor, the longtime coach and athletic director at West Jones High School. Wow. And where did you get the nickname Stump? Can you tell our listeners who might not know?
The first day that we were with the upperclassmen when I was a freshman
at Southern Miss,
I was sitting in the cafeteria. We were eating that night, and Chris Soroka and Billy Knighton, we were sitting at the table together with them, and Knighton looked at Soroka and said, you know, Taylor looks like a stump. And that was it.
That was it, huh?
Boy, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
Well, you got to tell
us
too.
That's exactly right,
Stump. You got to tell us too about the famous moment you told me about when Big Nasty Jim Carmody told you that he might very well offer you a scholarship.
Yeah. I went on my recruiting visit, and he had individual meetings with everybody, you know, as they were leaving. And I'm in there in the meeting with Coach Carmody, you know, not knowing what to expect, not knowing anything, because, you know, you don't know if he's ever going to say a word to you the way Big Nasty was. And he was talking to me, and he said, you know, we like you. We think we're going to sign you if we don't sign another kid.
So he told you right out of the gate you were choice number two.
I was choice number two. But the good news is I signed before Favre, so, I mean, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, you made his career, you know, you think about it.
Yeah,
I don't think Brett Favre would have had the career he'd have had if it hadn't been for your kicking, Stomp.
I've heard a lot of interviews with Brett Favre, but never have I heard the Hall of Fame quarterback say that he owes his career to Stump Taylor.
And he won't never say that.
You know, it's a secret handshake type deal, probably.
Maybe. Oh,
I was just signed one person before him. That's the only road right there.
Scott, I'll tell you, this man, as you can see, he's got a wonderful sense of humor. He was an excellent kicker for Southern Miss. Made a lot of big kicks.
Oh, I love it.
Back in the heyday, man. I mean, back in the heyday when Curly Hallman and Big Nasty had it going, didn't they, Sump?
We really did, man. We were really fortunate. Nobody, I think, knew what to expect when Coach Hallman came in. And we all loved Coach Hallman. He was tough, intensity like I'd never seen before in my life, other than my father. But now my father could do stuff to me nobody else could. So, you know.
Right.
But he knew how to coach me because of my dad. And he was just an incredible hard work. You know, he believed put yourself in a position in the fourth quarter to win the game, and you can win it. And we bought into it, and, man, we won a bunch of games in the fourth quarter.
You know, Stump, a lot of people always ask me how I dealt with Jim Carmody. He was known as Big Nasty, and a lot of people thought he was extremely intimidating. I never had anything but good things to say about Jim Carmody when I had his attention.
I love Jim Carmody.
I had his undivided attention, right?
Yes.
But what was it like to play for somebody? I was kind of surprised when you said that you thought Curly Holman was more intense than Carmody. Kind of compare those two, their temperaments and how they approach the game.
Well, Coach Carmody had a great relationship with the special teamers because, and Curly did too. We'd always practice after practice with Coach Carmody, and we practiced a lot of things. A lot of his big thing was onside kicks. He had a certain way he liked to do onside kicks, and we did a lot of practice of that. And practice was over as far as he is concerned. His hair was down with us, and he joked around and did a lot of stuff like that. And Curly did too. But Curly was so hands-on, especially in with our special teams. You know, every he coached them. It was, and we didn't have a special teams coach. He did it, and so he was a perfectionist. There's no doubt about that. But I love both of them. I got to play for Coach Bauer, which was, you know, great. He was offense coordinator for 2 years while I was there. Mm-hmm. And then he was the head coach my senior year.
Stuck, was there ever time that Big Nasty went to you and said, Jim, I know I yelled at you, and I certainly didn't want to hurt your feelings. And if I did,
no.
I'm really sorry.
No. He never really had to yell at me or get on to me a whole lot. I was only, you know, 6 months basically in his program, but no, he never did. Now, Coach Holman didn't apologize, but he got under you a couple of times. Mm-hmm. He could step over in your jock strap with you.
Well, Stump, I had a question for you, too. I mean,
yeah.
Just last year, something had a 30-year-old freshman punter from Australia. We're seeing all these guys from different countries come in and punt, 60-yard field goals. How have you kind of seen that change? Yeah, another one, too.
Oh, unbelievable. I look at the legs of these kids kicking the football today, and I'm just blown away. I mean, I missed one from 60 in high school, but now that was off of a tee and all of that kind of stuff. And these guys, you know, kid kicked that one in the NFL, what, 67 last year?
It's crazy.
That makes no sense to me.
No.
I mean, it's unreal.
Hey, Jim, Stomp, we wouldn't have done this show without you, brother. We love you, and I thank you for all the contributions you made early on in this program.
Man, it was an honor and a privilege, and every time I'm on with y'all, I feel the same way.
And thanks for what you did for Brett Favre.
Yes, we'll pass that along.
I left him a spot.
Jim Taylor, everybody. Thank you, Stump. We'll be right back, wrap up this show with Scott, Dima, and Kelly. Stay with us.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank all these great guests we've had on the show for the last 2 hours. And take just a moment, of course, I want to thank the owner of this company, Steve Davenport, and the CEO, Kim Dillon. They're the reason the show's on the air, as you know, Kelly, and they've just backed us 1,000%. They've never said no to anything we've requested, and we're really grateful to them for all the support they give the program.
And, of course, they're business people, so they understand, you know, the value. And, again, you and I have never figured out why people listen to this show, but apparently they do in droves.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, I came on the show 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, 2023, so almost 3 years ago. It's crazy, but I just want to say, is growing up around here in Hattiesburg, and as a Southern Miss fan growing up, before I put the journalist cap on, this was the bell cap podcast, and it's this first one.
Well,
and so just wanted to say for thank Bob and Kelly, you guys, I know that this show was dedicated to all these guests, but you guys are the ones who've stayed here throughout all those 10 years, and y'all put together a phenomenal product that's respected, and y'all should feel really proud of yourselves and back yourselves
you,
on the back.
Thank you. We're proud to have you part of the team, Damon. I mean that sincerely.
In the words of Gomer Pyle on the Andy Griffith Show, I believe I'm going to cry.
And let me just add, as someone who's not from here, somebody moved here trying to learn the area, I do enjoy listening to you guys because I've been able to learn so much about the perspectives here.
All the old athletes.
Laugh a little bit, learn history. I enjoy it. I think it's a great teaching mechanism,
well,
too.
Well, thank you. Well, I want to say this back to you two guys, and then we'll move on. Having young journalists like you, a part of the show, having Dima as part of our team. We thank the world of Dima. So glad I met you and invited you to start coming in and your willingness to come in. That's really important. And I know Kelly agrees that the perspective of you young guys who are out actually covering this every single day. We talk a lot. You guys bring us a lot of information and a lot of material that makes our job much, much easier.
What I appreciate about these two in particular is that they care about the truth.
Yes.
There's so much crap out there on the internet that you don't know, and we've even been victimized by it, you know, fairly recently, that we told a story right. That wasn't even true.
Correct.
But these guys are interested in nothing but the truth, and it seems like a lot of young people today are more, it's more important for them to give their perspective rather than what is the truth. And so that, to me, as a
these
person...
These young men are journalists.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. The journalistic touches don't see it in a lot of the younger people like I do with these two. So,
and guys, you're both qualified professional journalists in a world where far too many people think they're journalists that are not.
Yeah.
That are not. So.
Well,
no comment.
Well, I'll just say that I appreciate you two for bringing me on. And like I said, I joke with Kelly a lot and mess with him, but he's, for those who don't know, tremendous friend of mine.
Yes,
and,
for sure.
And you the same, Bob. Just wanted to update everybody in baseball right now. Southern Miss tied with Old Dominion 2-2. They had bases loaded, no outs. Higdon just grounded out to second, so that scored a run. So they got two on with one out and Dre Barrett up. Softball doubleheader today after dropping the opener last night to James Madison. I think it was 15-9. Right, so dropped the opener to James Madison, but because of inclement weather tomorrow and travel plans for James Madison, that game has been pushed to tonight. So you have a doubleheader. I think first pitch is around 4 out there at Southern Miss. So if the baseball game, you know, you can put it on your phone, the baseball game on your phone, and then head out to softball and watch a really good team. You know, Natalie Poole's really turning that around. Obviously, Southern Miss looking to take the series today against Old Dominion. And while y'all comment on y'all's thoughts on that, I'll give you an update on around the league scores as well.
Well, Scott and I were joking before the show that we were out there both, you know, talking to some of the...
And look what happened.
Yeah. It's not the first time that's happened. You know, we go out there, and then of course, that was just one game. But
now, you got us some good interviews that we'll have next week with several of those kids, right?
Yeah, looking forward to that. And I'm also, we're also efforting Pauline Love, who's the new women's basketball coach at Alabama. We've got her number. We're going to track her down. Hopefully, she'll get on the Eagle Hour with us. And, boy, that's something. But she's got a great resume, great history.
That's quite a job.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, she learned a ton from Joy Lee. I think it was about 2 years ago. Taylor, Kiret, and I did a Zoom call with her just to catch up over the summer. I mean, she learned so much from such a great coach. I think it's going to be so fun to watch that. And so many Lady Eagles out there doing a lot of good stuff in women's basketball. Right.
There's quite a Joy Lee McNellis tree, is there not?
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Around the league right now, as Southern Miss just takes the lead in Old Dominion on a Dre Barrett's fielder's choice. Around the league, Georgia State over ULM, and they do lead that series 1-0 after taking a game against the Warhawks last night. Texas State 4-1 over Georgia Southern. Couple games tonight, Louisiana, JMU, Marshall, App State, South Alabama, and Coastal, who just keeps rolling along, 10-0 in conference play. Georgia State and ULM is a doubleheader, as well as Georgia Southern and Texas State, both doubleheaders tonight. And then Arkansas State and Troy get going later tonight, which Troy did take the first game in that series. So some stuff to watch as Southern Miss has now a 3-2 advantage over Old Dominion in the fourth.
I'll feel a little better.
And I think that if memory serves, Georgia Southern won that first game against Texas State yesterday, which if you're standings watching, that's good for Southern Miss.
Yeah. Kelly Center, thank you very much, my man. You're a dear, dear friend. You've been with me all these years. I'm very grateful to you.
Thank you, Bob. You've got, the truth be told, you got way too much dirt on me. I have to do this show.
I know. And listen, so don't think you're going anywhere. It's still all in the book.
I know. Dima, I don't want...
Where do you want me to put your urns for the 20-year show?
She was just going to ask. 20 years. How's that
sound? Well, right after you take it to Omaha and set it in a seat for me and then bring it back, you can put it anywhere you like.
Dima, I was meaning after you jump off the bridge.
Oh, no. Dima, I can't tell you how much we value you, man. Really, I do appreciate you, young man.
Thank you.
And thanks so much to everybody that listens to the show and all you wonderful people that have sponsored it through the years. We wouldn't be here without y'all. Thanks, Scott.
Appreciate you, man. Right, always a pleasure.
Not bad for a Miami boy, huh?
He's pretty good. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.